What's up, wrestling fans? Welcome to another pay-per-view point edition of the SmartCon Moment Smack Talk podcast. We've got AEW Revolution 2021 coming up this weekend, this Sunday, not Saturday. They're doing a Sunday thing, so that's kind of strange. But we're going to break down the card in all its glory, what we know so far, as at least as far as around 4 o'clock in the afternoon on Wednesday the 3rd. Obviously, some things are going to change tonight on Dynamite, and we will talk about those updates when it comes to the hot tags later on this week. But first things first, who is talking? You should know us by now, but in case you're brand new, I'm Tony Mango. I've got with me Robert DeFelice.
It's a revolution, Tony, and it will be televised.
Ricky Starks is definitely on the card. And we've also got Callum Wiggins.
Exploding Barbed Wire Podcast.
Yeah, I think I'm in danger with that kind of scenario. I would never sign up for anything that has any of those words in it. Somebody's like, oh, you can do a match. I'd be like, no, not going to do a match. Oh, it's a death match. Certainly not going to do that. Oh, there's barbed wire. You can fuck off. And it's exploding. All right, well, then you might as well just shoot me in the head already because that's not happening. We got that. We got a women's championship match, a tag team championship match, a street fight, a ladder match, battle royale, a big money match, a tag team match, maybe something else. I don't know. Again, we don't know exactly how this card is going to fully shape up, but we will talk about that here and there. And we also want to know what you guys have to say about this. So drop a comment below on YouTube in particular. While you're over there and you're chatting it up with other people in the comments section, hit that like button if you enjoy this and you want to help us grow on the SEO. There's also the applause button if you want to do a direct monetary donation. That's great. You know, if you're really, really enjoying this and you're like, yeah, I'm going to toss a couple bucks these guys way, you know, buy them a cup of coffee or something like that, that's a great way to do that. Hit the share button if you think that there is anybody that you would like to pass this along to. And there's also the join button, which is the same as the Patreon. I'll talk about that in a moment. But above all else, make sure that you are subscribed. And that way you can check out future episodes. If you're in that little notification bell, then you'll know when we get things up on here. And then you'll just kind of, you know, become part of this SmartCon Moment fan system. And then you'll never, never leave.
Ever.
That's very ominous. If you enjoy the channel, definitely subscribe. And I think that you would agree too, that with all the content that we are giving you guys, we are well worth at least $1 a month to show your support for us. Think about it this way. How much does AEW Revolution cost for Bleacher Report Live?
$59.99.
How much does it cost over in the UK, Callum?
It would be probably about £15, I imagine.
You suck.
Even that, £15. That's for one show. Just one show. All the shows that we are giving you on the SmartCon Moment channel throughout the month. We've got the hot tags every week. We got the Paul Heyman SmackDown podcast. We've got the pay-per-view point stuff. We got extra stuff that we just do every once in a while. We've got the, at least once a quarter, we got the mailbag thing. We've got the Patreon has the Darkcast tier. $10 and up gives you access to the Patreon exclusive episodes. I will say this ahead of time. If a group of people, I don't know, I want to set like a specific amount, 10 people, let's say that. If 10 people join the $5 tier on Patreon, I will move the $10 Darkcast tier down to the $5 tier. So incentives. If you think we're worth $5 of your money per month, and I think that we are, donate to the Patreon, help us grow, because that is the type of thing that will keep SmartCon Moment going in the future. And if you want more, well, that's the best motivational tool as well.
And so, here's the thing. You got, I already said it.
You said your quote.
Ding. Got Tony, who works for Bleacher Report, who works for all these sites. You got me, I work for all these sites. You have Callum, who is an underrated historian interest mind. And I think if we had more incentive, we could do so much more with this particular channel.
That is very, very true. And I've shown you guys some of those notes of things that are like, well, I'll get to this in a couple of years, I guess, unless that Patreon explodes. not in an exploding barbed wire deathmatch kind of way, but in a good way. So donate to the Patreon, everybody. Show us your support. Tell us you love us, and we love you back. So let's get into the card here. The first thing we like to address usually is what other matches are they going to add? I don't think that we're going to get any matches added to this card, except for there's a slight chance that they add one more match just to put something else on the buy-in. But we've got a pretty stacked card as it is right now, and I can't think of a single match that they would add to the buy-in, unless it's just sort of like, hey, it's Jurassic Express versus TH2 or something.
I fully expect to see Jurassic Express versus FTR added. I don't think they've done Lucha and Jungle Boy against Dash and Dawson. Cash and Dash.
I mean, they're doing the six-man tag tonight.
Oh, right. Right.
So I imagine that's kind of like the bigger deal, especially because they've got Tully out of retirement to do a match.
Right.
I think if they're going to add any other match, it would be on the board, and I think it would be a women's match.
Yeah, anybody in mind, you think?
I would say whoever loses the finals of the tournament against somebody, maybe not super special or anything like that, but just so they could get a win back immediately after losing.
Maybe like a Thunder Rosa defends the NWA championship since they're coming back.
Well, I imagine that she'd have hard pressed to do that when it's
Serena
Deeb that holds the title.
Okay, imagine the NWA women's title.
Hey, look, if they booked it like WWE, then we would be able to say that it still could happen because they could switch the title tonight on Dynamite. That's what WWE does. So,
I mean, realistically, I think they should do Serena Deeb versus Riho because Riho defeated her in the tournament. It's an easy title match to book.
Be cool that. They haven't announced like any switching any of these matches as the buy-in match, but if they do, I think it's Miro and Kip Sabian against Chuck Taylor and Orange Cassidy.
Well, I think it's the Casino Tag Battle Royal.
It's definitely the Casino Tag Battle Royal.
Yeah, I didn't think about that. That could be the case.
The only thing that's making me think it's not the Casino Tag Battle Royal is because there's a big TBA listed on there.
Yeah,
and TBAs mean something when it's AEW.
So that's something we got to break down. Yeah. I guess we'll find out, of course, tonight. Maybe they announce it a little bit closer to the actual date of the show. Like they typically don't do what WWE does. They don't wait until the last minute to just go, ah, surprise, here you go. Here's like three matches. But you know, there's a chance that the day of that they switch things up. Of course, if they do switch up stuff tonight, we will address it in the hot tags. And if they switch it the day of the show, then we can't because you know, it's just going to be taken care of on the post show. But I guess let's break down the card that we know. Not in any particular order, but I'll go with the one that I think is the least spectacular, which is that tag team match, Miro and Kip Sabian against Orange Cassidy and Chuck Taylor. I've never really been a big fan of this feud. I don't really like Miro doing the I'm a gamer gimmick. Kip Sabian, I like. Miro, I like. Chuck Taylor, I like. Orange Cassidy, I'm a huge, huge fan of. But I'm just not sold on this being anything really worth my time. I think Cassidy and Taylor win just as easily as Miro and Sabian win. But a little bit of an edge towards Miro, because maybe they just want to keep him looking strong.
There's many different places I want to go here. First being, how is it that Orange Cassidy owns a pay-per-view victory over Chris Jericho and hasn't at least received a title match on television, like a world title match? You know, Miro looked great in a battle royal like 2 months ago, and I thought they were on the right track with him, and then he went right back to, I want to have fun, and I'm waiting for Miro to be a killer. I'm waiting for Orange Cassidy to cash in on the Chris Jericho rub. And that aside, I think this match will be fun because all AEW matches are fun and it should be good. But Miro and Kip got to win.
Yeah, I can't say that. I'm super pumped about this match in particular. But again, all the people involved are good. So I'm sure the match itself will be a lot of fun when it actually happens. I'm interested in seeing the dynamic between Orange Cassidy and Miro because I feel like that's something they could go back to at a later date where they're in different stages. again, maybe they could be doing more with Miro, but I also subscribe to the idea that you can't push everyone at once. And Miro will get his time. I'm pretty sure he's signed for a while, and he's currently just maybe easing himself back into wrestling after a bit of a hiatus following WWE. I would like to see Best Friends win this, and I would like Miro to be angry about it and destroy everybody.
Including Sabian?
Yep. And I don't want that to turn Sabian babyface or anything. I just want Miro to get so unbelievably angry and upset about just where things are going right now or anything to that extent, and just decide, okay, this is where I'm just going to become, as Rob says, the big, brutal Bulgarian killer that I can potentially be.
And listen, he's been very like, I don't want to be that. I don't want to be angry. I'm a nice guy. I mean, like, but I...
Well,
we need to see the guy who fought John Cena. Yes, it was a different guy. And Tony Khan's explanation of that works perfectly. But we need to see a different guy.
And I don't necessarily think that it has to happen on this show. I just think you need to start planting the seeds for it at the very least. Have something like Miro has the match won, but Kip Sabian maybe tags himself in and decides to go for it instead, and he ends up losing the match to Orange Cassidy, and that starts to build up the frustrations in Miro a little bit towards his tag team partner in the current situation he finds himself in. Because I do like the fact that AEW does. It doesn't just go straight to that point immediately. It does like to... Maybe sometimes they stretch things out too long, but I would rather they stretch things out too long more often than they just completely deliver things to you immediately all the time, because that becomes... That's more of a recipe for disaster to me than the other way around.
So this is a side note. This just made me laugh. I don't know if you heard me laughing there for a second. For anybody who's interested in some of the stuff that we do outside of the Smart Cut Moment things, we had just recorded our mock draft of the Pokemon Generation 1. That'll be up tomorrow at some point, most likely. And I'm going to spoil one of these picks. That I had picked Tangela, and I picked it because I said that it reminds me of Caroline, and I just got this all caps note while I was going on. I'm not Tangela. Did you tell the guys that I'm not Tangela?
No, in fact, you did not. You said that she was.
Adorable. Yeah, I like what you guys are saying about the whole idea of Miro switching things up and becoming a killer. I do think that if he loses this match, that there's pretty much like Sabian's the one that has to lose, and Miro has to be annoyed about that. I think that it's time for them to split them up too, but I am leaning more towards Miro and Sabian winning. Let's go to... I don't know. You pick, Rob. What should we go with to next?
Oh, I get to pick. Let's talk about the fact that this company has a fetish for gambling.
Well, that could be multiple things here. Because you got the big money match. You got the...
Well, thank you for proving my point. I want to talk about the fact that we're doing a casino battle royale in January, not at the pay-per-view in Las Vegas. Or not even at the pay-per-view named Double or Nothing.
I don't understand why it's casino everything. Yeah.
They couldn't come up with another term yet.
Tag team battle royal. Cool. Casino tag team battle royal. Do you need to do the casino gimmick? I'm not a big fan of that whole here's the groups thing. It's, you know, sometimes it can be kind of fun, but I especially don't think that it's going to work in this. Because they're going to just have like, all right, the diamonds are coming, and that's Dark Order and Bear Country. You know, like, I don't know. I don't really like that. I think this Double Battle Royal...
Tag Team Gauntlet. Like, you know, like, you call it so many things. Why does it have to be a casino? I get it's your gimmick. Believe it is your gimmick for May. You don't see WWE doing a Royal Rumble in, you know... July, unless Saudi Arabia asks for it.
The greatest casino tag team battle royale. That's what this is going to be. So the tag teams that are in this, and the winners get the next shot. I'm assuming the next, maybe not necessarily, but they do get a future shot at the tag team titles. The participants are Bear Country, Bear Boulder, and Bear Bronson. I keep forgetting. Can't remember which words remember, which ones forget. Which one's Tommy Wansall? Is that Bear Boulder, I think, right? You know, offhand?
No.
Tommy, if you're listening, keep getting which one's which. Boulder and Bronson are there. We got two different tag team sets of the Dark Order. We've got Alex Reynolds and John Silver, 3 and 4. And we've got Evil Uno and Stu Grayson, 1 and 2. We've got the Inner Circles, Ortiz and Santana. We've got the Butcher and the Blade. We got Private Party. And we've got Top Flight and TBA.
Why is there TBA?
Some tag teams are on the roster and not in this. We talked about...
My guess is the winner of the six-man tag tonight.
Could be. So that would put Jurassic Express or FTR in there, which they kind of should be. We don't have SCU in there. We don't have TH2. We don't have the Acclaimed, but that is kind of taken care of in a different way because Max Caster might be a part of the ladder match. And I think that Bowens is injured, if I remember correctly. But there's also a chance that maybe TBA is a brand new team or some kind of an outside source or something. Could be the Good Brothers.
Gallows and Anderson would make sense. There's Finjuice. You know, Finjuice is working with Impact. Impact is working with AEW.
Finjuice?
Juice Robinson, CJ Parker, and David Finley, the son of Fit Finley.
Oh, Finn Juice.
Yeah, Finn Juice.
Yes. Oh, you're like Finn Juice, like you thinned it out with some water or something.
Oh, no.
Finn Juice, it's still just, I don't like that name.
I would say it would be cool if it was the Motor City Machine Guns, but actually Malik Shelley is still injured at this point.
Right, or he's not wrestling for some reason. Look, I'll take Saban and Storm, even though I don't like that that's becoming quite the steady pairing over on Impact. I think that's a good pairing, you know? It's Chris Sabin and it's James Storm, and you can't go wrong.
But was he injured? Didn't he say that he was taking time off because of COVID or something?
To do with COVID, and he's a physical therapist, and he wants to respect his patients.
Good on him. I'm leaning more towards it's just the Good Brothers, and they just win.
I don't think there's going to be the Good Brothers. I just don't think that this is the match for them. I mean, again, a lot of it depends on who's going to win the tag team title match, and obviously we'll discuss that later.
Yeah.
At the moment, I think that this is going to be the winners of this match aren't going to win the championships. And I think, I'm not necessarily like if you give the match to the Good Brothers, they have to win, but I feel like there's a bit more interest in that one. I think this is just going to be give a team a chance to have a title shot, have a bit of fun with it. See what they can come up with. I think that my choice is one of the Dark Order teams, but I'm actually going to go with Uno and Grayson, not Reynolds and Silver. I'm sure most people would prefer Reynolds and Silver because they're fun, but I actually think the Dark Order is the Uno and Grayson tag team is really underappreciated for their level of ability. So I would go with them.
As it stands right now, the Young Bucks are having a pretty meh championship reign. Do we agree, disagree?
How
do we
I agree. About that?
Okay. So I'm not ready for them to lose it, and I definitely don't want to see a team like the Dark Order come up where they'll be the preferred favorites over the Bucks. I think we play this straight. We give it to either Santana and Ortiz or TBA. Maybe TBA is how the Revival gets... FTR gets their match. And because remember, they did that once and then they haven't gone back to it. And I will say AEW has been very good about not going back to the well with rematches. But there is money on the table there. So I think it's Proud and Powerful or the TBA team.
And that's all is going to seem like, oh, of course they were going to go in that direction after we see what's happening, like in hindsight with the tag titles, because right. We don't know if it's going to be the Young Bucks carrying on and these winning people are going to fight the Young Bucks going forward, or if it's going to be MJF and Chris Jericho, because that's the tag team my title match is on here, Young Bucks against the Inner Circle. So I look at it as kind of like, it's a completely like totally different scenario if one team or the other team wins. Like, if the Young Bucks win, then maybe there is a good chance that it's the Good Brothers, and then that's how they set up that. But you don't have to go in that direction either. You could have, like, the Young Bucks could lose those tag titles and fight the Good Brothers anyway. And it's a big enough match that I think that you can do that and get people's interest. Plus, I can't imagine a team other than the Inner Circle's MJF and Chris Jericho duo or the Good Brothers beating the Young Bucks for those belts. And I don't think that they're going to give them to the Good Brothers because they are part of the Impact roster. So for the tag title scenario, I kind of think what we're getting here is MJF and Chris Jericho win the tag titles. And then the mystery team, or honestly, maybe Reynolds and Silver win that tag title match and they just lose on an episode of Dynamite.
Like, well, if Reynolds and Silver were to go up against MJF and Jericho, I would be all for putting it, even if it's briefly, on Reynolds and Silver, because then you have a case where, okay, this babyface tag team should defeat these two dastardly heels who don't need to be in the tag title picture, which we'll talk about in a minute, I guess. But it all really depends on where that tag title match goes.
I'm not a big fan of hot potatoing, but it would be kind of funny if MJF and Jericho win the titles and they lose them on, like, the next episode of Dynamite, and then they can go forward and be like, we were even tag team champions. We were so good as a tag team, you know, like.
I mean, my decision is being more driven by the fact that I'm pretty certain that this, whoever wins this world title match won't get the title shot at Double or Nothing.
Right.
There's too long of a gap, so it's got to be just on an episode of Dynamite. Not that AEW doesn't give big matches on Dynamite or does title changes on Dynamite. It's just I don't feel like they would make that big of a change, especially if the titles were to change hands later on in the night as well. I think that whether it's the Young Bucks or Jericho and MJF holding title going forward, I think they would drop the title on pay-per-view.
Yeah, I think that the winners of this Battle Royale, they're not waiting all the way up until then. I thought that they were going to do that with some other stuff in the past, and they proved me wrong with, like, Brian Cage winning the the casino ladder match?
Yes.
I was like, oh, okay, I guess he's going to go all the way to All Out, and they got him in and out really quickly.
They announced with him, like, later that night. Oh yeah, he'll be wrestling in 2 weeks.
Yeah, so maybe they have a special episode of Dynamite coming up just to kind of do something. When is Double or Nothing?
May. It's the final weekend in May.
So they got to have an episode of something around WrestleMania just based off of the way that these companies keep doing that. Probably that week, they'll probably announce, based off of the idea that they pretty much only do beach things and casino things, it'll be like Casino Beach Break or something.
Bash at the casino.
Slots on the beach. Whatever it is. I do think the biggest thing about this is who's walking away with those tag titles and who's the mystery team. And maybe we'll find out the mystery team later on tonight. I don't know. My gun to my head scenario, Jeff and Jericho, MJF and Chris Jericho win the tag titles. They beat whoever wins the tag team battle royale. And it's either the mystery team or it's Reynolds and Silver.
Oh, we're also saying that, like, the mystery team is in, it's just one. That basically said, like, just reading off the Wikipedia page, so again, take it with a grain of salt, but it says 7 teams have been confirmed for this battle royal with more to be announced. So they haven't actually strictly said that there's only going to be 8 teams in this.
That's true. I think it's at least going to be 10. So, there's that.
So, gun to your head, where are you guys going with these two?
Gun to my head, I'll go Silver and Reynolds.
And what about the tag titles?
Oh, and tag titles, I'll go Bucks.
I think essentially eliminating any, like, major TBA things, because it's hard to predict any super spoilers. I'll go with Uno and Grayson. And I'm picking the Inner Circle of Jericho and MJF to win the tag team titles.
Would you guys be disappointed if it's all like it's TBA and it's Lee Johnson and QT Marshall?
Yeah. AEW doesn't do shit like that. It's like, yeah. I think look north of the border for stuff like that to happen.
Well, it's like,
Lana won a match without even getting involved in it. It's like that.
We're so preconditioned, though. Like,
it's like when you know there's like an abused animal, and it's like, don't give me that food, you're gonna hit me. It's like, yeah. It's like, don't tell me TBA, you're gonna give me something bad, aren't you? This is gonna be booked like all hell, you know. Like, for anybody who's been criticizing the way that that I approached the Bobby Lashley title win, I'm like, man, it's a shame that this isn't better. And people are like, oh, aren't you happy? And it's like, yeah, but they're going to screw it up. Like, you know, it's kind of like...
Oh, I guess we'll talk about that on Friday. I just realized I don't know what your opinion is on that.
Teaser for the hot tags.
I don't want to see Jericho and MJF win these titles. They don't fucking need them. This is the equivalent of something stupid WWE would do, where it's like, oh, well, we have the most stacked women's tag team division. Here's a makeshift team. Whereas here they're going, we have the most stacked tag division in all of wrestling, and here's another makeshift tag team, even though the Inner Circle has a definitive tag team. I totally think that it's just because MJF and Jericho need to be around a championship because they elevate those belts. And by proxy, it says that the belts are important. But Jericho could do a little bit more. I know that they've stayed away from rematches, but he could get another world title shot. MJF can get another big-time singles feud. These guys don't need to be in the tag title picture.
Well, I think it's more than that. I think they need Jericho and MJF to be around each other. Because the obvious story that they're leading towards is that MJF is going to take over the Inner Circle from Jericho. And this means that they have to be associated with each other a lot and win or lose together. I mean, they could lose this match and this could fuel more things together. I think the story, in my mind, works better if they win the tag titles for a little while and then drop it to a more established team later on. I think that would help elevate the belts against Jericho, because Jericho is still like the biggest crossover star that they probably have in the company at this point. So have Jericho hold the title for a little while because MJF is first championship, so that's good for them. The Young Bucks don't need them really right now because they could feud with Gallows and Anderson, whether it's over the Impact tag titles or anything else really, or just a straight up feud. That doesn't need the belts involved.
So gun to my head, if we're going with MJF and Jericho win, I think they lose it down the line to Jurassic Express.
I could see that being the case.
Yeah, that would be my pick of them who they would end up losing it to. And I would say, I don't think the Inner Circle's reign would be a particularly long one. I think they would end up dropping it by Double or Nothing because
I don't
think you need to accelerate too fast, but I think you do at this point, the Inner Circle. I'd also say it's on its last legs because I'm not like super offended by anything they're doing or think that it's terrible by any stretch of the imagination, but I feel like it's getting to the point where you extend it out too much longer, then it will be an issue. So I want them to hold the titles for a while, drop it a Double or Nothing or something like that to Jurassic Express or a team with that ilk, then start the real sort of tension between them, leading to a match between Jericho and MJF All In. I think that's kind of the process you should go, really, at this point.
Yeah, I really think that if we don't get Jericho versus MJF at All Out, that's a mistake. I mean, I've kind of pre-booked a lot of that in my brain. I think that we should get Hangman against Kenny Omega, for instance. I think that the Young Bucks should be somewhere in the title scene for the tag titles around that time. You know, like there's ideas in my mind. I still, for that matter, think that Cody Rhodes should still be in the TNT title range around that time, but you know, we'll get to that in another discussion. But this whole partnership with Impact and all that throws me off a little bit too. The Good Brothers got to be involved in something with the Young Bucks down the line. And I can't imagine that they drag that out all the way to All Out. So I'm assuming Young Bucks versus Good Brothers at Double or Nothing. And I don't think that that's going to be for the tag titles. So I guess we'll see. We talked about the casino match. All right, what's that?
I was going to say, did you actually make your picks?
Yeah, Jericho and MJF win, and they beat Reynolds and Silver or the Mystery Team.
That sounds good.
But we got to talk.
I think Callum should get to pick now. I picked. Let Callum pick.
Didn't you already say?
No, I mean, like, I got to pick the next match we talked about.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, okay. I think the one that has the least amount of stakes to discuss, really, is Adam Page versus Matt Hardy.
Yeah, so we went from...
There is an entire quarter one earnings on the line here. No, now, let's get the most stakes.
I do actually want to talk about this one, because I think that I'm going to be the person on this panel the most that really likes this feud.
It's not going to be me.
Because I know Tony doesn't know anything that Matt Hardy's been doing since he joined AEW. Yeah. And I know you're protective a little bit, but I know you're probably more in the middle of the road, Rob, based on what I've heard and stuff like that. But I think the character work in this entire feud has been exceptionally good, especially from Matt Hardy. Because, again, and I've said this multiple times, I'll say it to him blue in the face, Matt Hardy's the better Hardy brother in every respect. He's a better wrestler, he's a better character, he's a better talker, he does everything better than Jeff except attract women.
So,
and that's like,
that's, I think, like, that's actually something that we all agree on.
I don't think Tony does.
Tony.
I'm sorry, what was that? Matt or Jeff? Jeff.
Exactly.
Really? In what respect?
That he's better?
Yeah.
I think he is more fun to watch in the ring. I think he's more marketable.
All right, stop talking. I had a point and you went and disproved it. So
do you go for Matt more of Hardy, the Matt Hardy's more stable kind of thing?
Matt Hardy is just a better worker overall. Like, don't get me wrong, Jeff Hardy is one of the biggest baby faces of all time. But I think Matt Hardy is the better worker. In the same way, Hulk Hogan is one of the best babyfaces of all time. But Macho Man Randy Savage is the better worker.
Yeah, but I think that Macho and Hogan are more equals than Jeff and Matt. I think if you... I'm going to do my usual thing here. I think if you merge them and you have... Jeff Hardy, or something, I don't know what you would call the that kind of, like, you take Matt Hardy's mind for a lot of this and Jeff Hardy's look and style, a little bit of Matt Hardy style, but like Jeff Hardy's more flamboyant and whatever, he's more interesting, I think, in that way, and you would get somebody who would be even more of a multi-time world champion. Of course, with both of them, you got to take out the behind-the-scenes stuff that got in their way. But
yeah, it'd be even worse if both of them could combine for a little while.
That's a different story.
But I just feel like I always go with the idea that I think Matt's just a better character. It's like his mind just works better. He's not as flamboyant in the ring as Jeff is, but I think he's more, like you say, more stable in the ring. And also, due to the fact that, I mean, the other thing that I would say in the past was that Hardy is more... The thing that makes him better is the fact that he's willing to kill himself more. And then Matt Hardy almost killed himself last year. So that's kind of switched things over. But I really like the big money Matt gimmick that he's got going right now. I think that he's essentially playing 2021 Carney. And I kind of really appreciate that because the thing I appreciate about this big money match is that it's straight out of Deep South Wrestling, or it's straight out of Mid-South or something like that. Like, it's a really old school gimmick.
Sometimes the most simple
things are just so good. I mean, based on your reactions, I'm the only person that thinks that. But it's just a really old school, like, yeah, somebody just gets a big sum of money at the end of it. Not like, oh, you win this money and you win this match, you get $1 million or something like that, because that's unrealistic. I think first quarter earnings, yeah, I could see that happening in some sort of actual just fight situation that you would only really get in wrestling, but I could see it making sense. And it's been built around the idea that Matt Hardy is a carny that's trying to steal his clients' money. So they've established that character trait of him. He only wants to make a huge amount of money now at this point in his career. And so now he's got a risk of losing all that money to Adam Page, who essentially... At the moment, Adam Page is, I don't want to say he's directionless, but they're keeping him away from the world title scene until the time is right to bring him in.
He's stalling. He's in a stopgap. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's fine as long as he's got something to do. And I think this match gives him something to do and something interesting at the very least.
I will say, I appreciate that they put some effort into this. One of my big criticisms for WWE is if they go with matches on a card, especially on a pay-per-view, but it's on the Raw and SmackDown and everything too, AEW does sort of go into this trope sometimes where they just go, wouldn't this be interesting? It's Christopher Daniels against Lance Archer. And you're like, for what? And they're like, because wouldn't it be fun? And then you're like, oh, come on, guys. But they do actually put in more effort on some story stuff than WWE does as well here and there. And this would be the type of thing that WWE wouldn't even put that much effort into. They would just say, well, you know what? Adam Page is like an upper mid-carder. Matt Hardy's like an upper mid-carder. Do it. And they bothered to do the big money angle. It's the big money match. They got like the stakes on the line, that kind of thing. I do appreciate that. I just don't dig the big money Matt character. So when it all revolves around a character that I'm not into, that severely hurts it for me. And I'm not interested in Matt Hardy stealing the money of Private Party, especially not when the bulk of it's been happening on BTE. And I don't like when they make BTE one of the big storyline anchors, because it's kind of, that's the show that should be breaking the fourth wall. And, you know, we talked about this before. AEW is very much like Cody wants it to be WCW from what his dad had going on, and the NWA, and Kenny Omega wants it to be a little bit of New Japan and a little bit of like some wacky stuff. And the Young Bucks are like, let's go meta. Everything's meta. And I don't like when they go super duper meta on the, some of those things. So there's elements I like, elements I don't like. And even though I'm not super into this, it is a very, very stable mid-card match for this card. Like, this makes perfect sense. You got an established name of Matt Hardy. He's working with an established name on the rise, like Adam Page. So Page absolutely has to win.
He does, and then Matt Hardy needs to be in shambles.
Yep, and he needs to be like poor version of himself.
He needs to be shown taking food out of his children's mouths, almost literally, yeah. Saying that they don't have money because he lost all his Q1 earnings.
Yeah, that's how they need to take that.
And it needs to be highlighted by Robbie going, what do you mean we have a whole bank account full of money? And he goes, no, we lost our Q1 earnings. That's all that matters.
They're tied up in investments.
And I think he should be not sort of punishing, but he should be getting on Private Party to start winning more matches, because that means that they get the money back and he gets his cut of those ones as well. So
yeah, have fun with it, you know?
Yeah, I think well, as I say, like, that's why I kind of like the story and like the character, because I think Matt always strikes me as like he knows where he's going with his characters right now. And I feel like he wants to go into ruin off the back of this. And also there's other elements involved, so you're probably going to have Private Party involved in some fashion. I would like to see the Dark Order involved in some fashion as well. Maybe even the odds against Private Party get interfering.
Yeah, Tony mentioned BTE. The Dark Order BTE stuff is some of the most, you can't say that on television, kind of content I've ever seen. But these guys and Hangman Page have a great chemistry. And yes, it's completely different from what it once was, but it's almost like Hangman has to lead the Dark Order by All Out.
I still don't think that's happening, but I like him being buddies with them.
You think, what would you think it is? That he's just like, you guys don't need to be a Dark Order. You can just be yourselves and just be buds.
Yeah, kind of. Just like, you know, I don't want to lead the Dark Order, but I'll be friends with you guys. And you can all hang around and crap on Allen Angels. You know? They kind of just do it.
I can't say this is my idea, but I kind of like the story that I've heard from some people put inside it forward, the idea that Negative One is the person that chooses Adam Page to lead.
Oh, it has to happen that way.
Yeah, he's the one who just basically, they help him out in this one, and then he comes out and says, please lead this team. We want you to lead it. And then that's kind of the thing that melts people's hearts and stuff like that. And Adam Page finally decides, yeah, I'm going to do it.
The way that would go down almost assuredly would be like, I want you to lead this team. Shut up, Excalibur.
I mean, I don't care. I love negative one.
He's great. He's so good. Like, this kid on commentary is like between negative one and Taz on commentary and Ricky Starks when he goes on there too. That's the only reason to watch AEW Dark in my mind. It's the best. Especially if like Jungle Boy comes out, you got Taz going, and just, you know, I hope Big Show ends up being like that, like one of those fun people. But negative one is so good. I never would have imagined that this kid would have gotten so much screen time and I'd be like not annoyed at some point, you know?
It's just one of these things about, again, where we talk about this one, where I talk about AEW and have a bit more of a smile on my face. Yeah, like I said, they're not perfect and they do stupid things from now and again, but most things is just like, they just like to have fun.
Yeah.
You kind of feel that whenever they're doing stuff, whether it's on Dark or on Dynamite or on BT or anything like that else. They're just a bunch of people that have a sense of humor that I can really get on board with.
It's definitely the company that if you want to work in the place that you probably would have more fun. It's what's going on more than WWE.
Exactly.
Like backstage in AEW, you're playing that golf game with a little crocodile or whatever, and you're playing for the BTE title. Backstage in WWE, you're like, I can't talk to the writers. They won't let me. Like,
yeah. I will say I don't... Like, there are times where that has bitten them in the ass. Like, for the Young Bucks match in particular, I don't take them seriously. Like, everything that they do feels like a bit to me, and that's because I'm now preconditioned to just think, all right, they'll be serious in between the ropes, and then everything else that they do is a bit.
Yeah.
I mean, I totally get that side of it. I mean, I do appreciate the fact that they added the Papa Buck attack. I wish he didn't overact as much as he did, but it's just a case of... It's again, it's really old school, and I'm pretty sure Jericho probably suggested it. Just the idea of, hey, why don't we just beat up this guy's dad?
Jericho also suggested, mother, stop it. Go down already. Like,
yeah, I think that would work. And it added a bit more seriousness, I mean, to that angle. But I understand what you're saying. Like, with certain parts, they can go a little bit too either meta or they can go too far down the comedy route. But I don't feel like it's... Because WWE goes, historically, too far down the comedy route. But...
See the My Hole incident.
Yeah, but their one is far more... It's a mixture of... It's either too in-your-face, like the My Hole stuff, or it's too out-of-date. Whereas I think AEW is more on the pulse. And so I can kind of get away with it a little bit more.
We're going to get something next week with WWE. It's going to be like, let's do this Gangnam Style thing. Now, huh, guys?
I'll be a character. That was new gimmick.
Let's go to the Face of the Revolution ladder match. Right now it's Cody Rhodes, Penta, Scorpio Sky, Lance Archer, and either Preston Vance, number 10, or Max Caster, and TBA. So TBA is going to pull a double duty this night. We got TBA in the ladder match, TBA in the Casino Battle Royale, and TBD, TBA's brother, in the Women's World Title match. They're all related to Vacant in some fashion. Vacant's their dad, I guess. I don't know.
Pop yourself with this, Tony.
Yeah, I did. I find this funny. You know what's really bad? Actually, me saying that, I had a family tree in my head. And I was like, who else could be around there? Maybe like in abeyance. Like, you know, it's gonna... Somebody make the family tree. And, who would the crazy uncle be?
You!
That's abeyance. Abeyance is the
crazy uncle. Oh, in abeyance is the crazy uncle. Yeah.
Because no one ever says that. It's like, oh, that's the one you really pull out when you really don't want to say Vacant anymore.
Interim champion somewhere in the mix, like a cousin. Make up a family tree with this, everybody, and tweet it at me or something. Make this a thing. Anyway, first off, we'll figure out if it's 10 or Caster. I think it's going to be 10. Just because it's a ladder match. And 10 isn't the type of guy that I think that they're going to build too many like feuds around. Caster is a little bit easier because he is better on the mic. Caster very easily could be in this, though, because he's got his positives as well. So got a 50-50 on that. I don't think either of them is going to win, though. You guys thinking Vance or Caster?
I'm thinking Vance because I think he's dedicated it to Brody Lee. And once you've done that, like, you can't not win.
Yeah, I mean, if he's done that, then that's probably the way to go. I would personally go Caster because I think he's a star on the rise. like his, again, the rapping gimmick isn't for everyone, but I feel like he's getting better at it.
He is getting better.
Seen in the Paul Heyman SmackDown thing, Cena, when he started the rap gimmick, was very, very
green,
very hit or miss. Yeah, and it was very like awkward almost. And then he started getting more intense with the rap style, and it's like, okay, this guy's gonna, you see by the end of the Paul Heyman SmackDown journey, this guy is gonna be the next world champion at some point. Just like, you're just waiting for it. And also, Max Caster is at that level yet, but I could certainly see him being a TNT champion by next year.
Yeah, I still think that it's not my thing, that kind of monotone delivery and everything, but he's popped me a couple times. The Jannetty line in particular was so good. Who do you guys think the TBA is going to be?
See, this one is completely up in the air.
Because it's single, so it's a lot easier to just put anybody in there instead of tag teams.
Yeah, it could be anyone in AEW. It could be Kenta. It could be... I'm thinking of names from like Impact. So you've got Sami Callihan, you've got Eddie Edwards. I assume it won't be Tommy Dreamer, but like, stranger things have happened.
I honestly, of all the people who would just jump in a ladder match, it might be Tommy Dreamer.
I mean, there are a lot of options. I mean, I'm just trying to think of somebody that's within the actual bounds of AEW, and thinking, maybe. I mean, Will Hobbs hasn't got anything yet because he's not going to be. Well, he might be involved in the street fight, but he's not technically in the street fight. Wardlow or Jake Hager don't have matches yet.
Guevara doesn't.
Yeah. You could put one of either Kaz or Christopher Daniels in it. Janela hasn't got a match. And he was like, yeah, Janela could be an option.
Sean Spears straight up disappeared.
Yeah, where has he been?
No clue.
Is it bad? I don't care.
Yeah.
It is bad because he should be so much higher up on the card and have worked his way towards proving that kind of mentality wrong.
Yeah.
And instead it becomes, I'm going to go to AEW and I'm going to prove that I'm a top guy. And my first storyline is going to be how I'm not, and then I'm not going to be. God damn, man.
It's not bad that you don't care. It's bad that I know and agree with exactly why you don't care.
Yeah.
I think he's someone who's good, but I think he's just proven that
WWE, you're showing right?
That he has an upper ceiling.
Now, I will say, I don't think this TBA is going to be somebody on the roster. Even if it's not like an actual, like, we just signed so-and-so and that's going to be the surprise, I think it's an outsider. Like, you know, an Impact person or Jeff Cobb or something,
It won't be anyone that's in Japan currently. Because they recently worked, you need to have at least a fortnight, I believe, of quarantine.
Right.
Before they'll let you work. I mean, we haven't seen Pac in a while. Maybe he's just been away for a bit, and now this is where he comes back into that match.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Did Khan say we're not going to find out this person until the show?
I don't recall.
Kind of remember that being the case, but I don't know 100% for sure.
So, I think it will wind up being an outsider. I think there's like a Chris Bay. Is Leo Rush? Leo Rush should be in this match because Leo Rush is very good.
TJP would be good.
TJP is also very good. He's the current X Division champion, so there is that added bonus.
When you said an outsider is going to be, do you think it's Nash or Hall?
I still think. Yeah, well, look, here's the thing. They like doing historic matches. Maybe you put Hall in a ladder match. At the same time, you can't go wrong with Kevin Nash.
It's all the stuff they've talked about recently. Do you think it's going to be Pat McAfee?
No, oh, my God. No, but that's a fun quote that got everybody talking.
What happened with that? I didn't see that.
Cody Rhodes said on a media call, I believe the question was asked by Russell's own Bill Pritchard, that Pat McAfee literally tries every other day to get a job with AEW.
Hmm. That's interesting.
So, I think he was...
I feel that was tongue-in-cheek.
Funny, yeah. He was just being fun with it, and people blew it out of proportion. But yeah.
They will. Kyrie knows how to work the media. That's actually one of the things I want to talk about this. I know we're obviously still talking about the TBA thing, but I think one of the interesting things about this is whether actually Cody's going to be in this match or not. Because Cody's hurt.
You think he gets taken out in the Shaq thing?
I think that like, there were already talks going around that maybe he'd be out of the Shaq match even. So I don't know how he's doing a six-man ladder match. Like his shoulders.
Wait a minute. Out of the Shaq match. Wow.
If the Shaq match was like, hey, it's Shaq and Jade Cargill against Cody and Brandi Rhodes, and let's replace Brandi and then Cody, it would be like, why are we even doing this?
Yeah, so we're doing Shaq and Jade Cargill now against the Big Show
Red Velvet. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think that I don't know for certain what Cody's status is. Cody works her. We know this because he's done that countless times throughout his career, but it does feel like it'd be a bit much, maybe on his shoulder, based on the stuff that I've read about what sort of pain he's in right now. So I think there's a good chance that he gets taken out of this and replaced by someone else.
I wouldn't mind that. I mean, it's face of the revolution. They could put somebody else in there.
Yeah, because I don't think Cody's going to win.
Yeah.
I mean, it obviously adds more gravitas to the match that if he's in it. But I don't think it's necessary. It's a six-man ladder match. You kind of just need
Big Shoddy Lee. Are we calling him that? What are we calling him?
Big Shoddy Lee Johnson? I hope they don't keep calling him Big Shoddy, because I don't like that. Captain Sean Dean pops up or something, you know?
I like Camarado. Like Camarado throw people around.
I mean, if Cody's going to take out, I think he should trade him for Dustin.
I'll totally be down for Dustin in a ladder match.
I'm going TBA winning.
It's a good shout. I mean, they have a history of doing that.
Going Scorpio Sky because I don't trust that they care enough about TBA, and I think Scorpio Sky is on the cusp of this thing, or at least they want you to believe that he is. So pull the trigger.
I'm going Penta El Zero Miedo because it's about time he did something.
But no, but you see, I've become a bigger fan of Phoenix, and now I'm like, oh,
Phoenix is the guy out of these ones. But I think that Phoenix will get this opportunity eventually. I think we need to see something Penta.
You do. You see him go, Cierro, yeah.
What's the over-under on that? How many times is he going to do that in this match?
At least five.
I just feel like he needs to stand out a little bit more, because I know he can be really good, because I've seen him be really good. Again, it's in Lucha Underground, and that show was heavily, heavily edited. But I feel like he's done enough in like Mexico and stuff like that to give me confidence that if given the opportunity, he'll do something really good. And I think he can have a really good match with Darby Allin, because eventually that's the match that we're building towards. And I'm thinking now, these ones, who's going to have the best match with Darby Allin? Those two, they're probably going to kill each other.
See, that's why I don't think that Sky is going to win, because I think that they're going to try to make him somewhere along the lines get a shot at Kenny Omega on Dynamite and lose. And I think that Archer, like somebody like an Archer, like, yeah, he can throw around Darby Allin. That'd be fun. But I'm just going to TBA is too what's in the box kind of thing, you know, for me to not go with TBA.
No, that's fair enough. I mean, to be fair, the last TBA was, well, the last big one in my memory was Matt Sydal, so.
Brian Cage?
Yeah, but that was before Matt Sydal, though.
Yeah, technically, I guess, right?
So I'm just going on the most recent one that's kind of that ilk.
My time to fall. Let's go with the street fight. Staying in Darby Allin against Brian Cage and Ricky Starks. You're going to hate me for this. I honestly do not care.
How can you not care?
I'm not as big on Darby Allin as other people are. I think Sting... I'm nervous about what Sting's going to do. I want... Honestly, this is not what's going to happen. I would love Brian Cage and Ricky Starks to beat the crap out of the two of them and win. And just surprise everybody. But Sting and Darby Allin are going to win. And I'm like, eh. I don't really care.
I don't know why you're so down on Sting. I don't know what Sting has done to you. Sting deserves a chance to have one final run. He had a really good run in TNA. And he went to WWE to just check the last thing. Because in 2015, nobody in their right mind would have ever imagined the idea of AEW. And WWE treated him like shit. Even before the injury. And if he can do this, let him do it.
Now, I think Sting against Cody at All Out, that I can be in for. But the partnership with Darby Allin, I feel, is so surface level. And there's a chance that this is a cinematic match, apparently. If that's what happens, I don't like cinematic matches.
I mean, it probably won't be a cinematic match just due to the fact that Sting took a powerbomb. And so they're going to have a match. Whether it's framed somewhere somewhat cinematically could be a thing, but it's going to be a match. I think that, I mean, I'm a fan of the Sting stuff that's been going on. I can't say that it's been the most gripping television, because most weeks Sting just comes out, stands with a bat,
mm-hmm.
and the other guys run away, and then Sting leaves.
Yeah.
And so they could have been doing more, definitely. They could have done more with Sting. But then they shocked everyone by having him take a fucking powerbomb from Brian Cage. And just feel like, after seeing that, I thought, oh my God, they're taking him out of the match. Because they're doing some sort of injury angle. Because this guy has pretty much broke his back, broke his neck.
And he's 50 what?
He's in his 60s now, I believe.
Oh, he's reached that. Okay, wow.
He's 61, yeah.
Wow, 61. Look at fucking good for 61, Sting.
Yeah, 61. Face paint
does wonders, guys.
No, he is like an unbelievable specimen in terms of just maintaining a look, which is probably a good, I would say over a decade. He looks over a decade younger than he actually is, especially with the face paint. But
especially if you go back in time, the way that they used to have, like, they'd be like, this guy's 36 years old, and you're like, oh God.
I mean, what do we think about it? Just the idea that when we did that review of our watch along of Starrcade 97, he was approaching 40 before that main event. It's just like, now he's at this age. And I think, I mean, obviously Sting and Darby Allin are going to win this match. I don't think they can't have Sting lose his first match, because then they open themselves up to, well, you're just treating Sting the exact same way he was treating WWE, just bringing him for one match and just having been beaten by another guy.
More so, Sting should absolutely, okay, I guess you can't because he is 61. No,
Sting shouldn't get the pin.
I was going to say Sting should just beat the shit out of him with the bat. Like Sting
I think he should beat the hell out of Taz with the bat.
I'll allow it.
That'd be fun.
The WCW, ECW feud, nobody ever thought that they'd be able to see. Like, I never thought about that, but like Sting and Taz being involved seems very odd to me.
I mean, I would like Ricky Stark and Brian Cage to go. I hope this is the end of the feud, and they move on to other things. I don't think Stark should go off the TV, TNT title straight away off of this, even though he's a really good fit for it. I mean, realistically, I want in the next build up towards Double or Nothing, I want them to start this fucking trios tournament or this trios championship or something, and Team Taz should be the first team to hold it. Because they are the best trio in my mind. They're the most interesting at the very least. But I'm hoping that's the route they go down, so they give them something to do. But as for this one, I think you give Darby Allin the Sting the win. It like makes them stand out. You keep Sting, I don't say off TV for a while, but you don't feature him as prominently until All Out, and you give him that match against Cody.
I would like it.
I definitely want Sting versus Cody at All Out. 100%.
Cody to be heel.
And Cody needs to be heel. Cody needs to, like, whoop the poor old man, you know? Like,
he needs to be like, you thought you were the face of WCW, fuck you, my dad was the face of WCW, like that kind of thing. And
I mean, I think realistically, before you do that, though, I think you need to do Cody and Sting teaming up at one point.
Yeah. Do that at Double or Nothing. Or is there anything between Double or Nothing and
Yeah, because Cody was the weird third wheel there, wasn't he? Where it was like Cody had just lost the belt to Darby, and then Sting shows up, and
shucks, you.
He's just like, yeah, I'm not here for you, kid. Settle down. Like,
yeah, and it's the idea that Cody like loves Sting, and so the idea that I think that'd be a really good way of going about it. I think that they could do something. They could really do something. And I don't know whether they'll go with this. And part of me doesn't feel they should, but it would be interesting. If you have the Inner Circle win the tag team titles, and then it's Sting and Cody Rhodes against them for the championships. And that's when he turns, because then you also have MJF involved in the match as well. So there's, again, some more interlinking with that stuff.
I can see that.
You can get the Jericho-Sting match that I'm sure Jericho has been clamoring for ever since he was working for WCW. It's very weird with Cody, because there's that damn ruling on him with the world title. So every time a big match comes up, you're like, Cody has to be here, but what can Cody do?
He has to be in that Undertaker spot of like not in the title picture kind of thing. Of course, Undertaker was in the title picture here and there, but you know what I mean.
I mean, there is obviously, there's always the possibility that when he turns heel, he just decides to forget the ruling.
Yeah.
I don't think he will. I don't think he will do that, but I think it could be an interesting story about him just trying to, once he turns heel, just desperately trying to find some loophole or some semblance of that to get him a title opportunity.
You could, he swears up and down, no, but like, I just want to see it. I just don't care. Like, he belongs in the world title picture. He is that good.
Oh, he definitely is that good, but I feel like he's good enough to not need the title, if you see what I mean.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, he can do other feuds, like the Sting thing. He can find other ways to maintain his interest. And then there's also the fact that he's said multiple times that he's probably going to retire in the next 5 years, so.
I forget exactly how I had written this down, but I might have been for Free Wrestling News, might have been on SmackDown Moment, I don't remember, it's just a couple months ago. I wrote out this idea of like, what would I do if I booked all the way through to All Out a couple years from now? And actually might have been Bleach Report of like the future of Kenny Omega's title reign and where that goes. I had this idea in mind that Omega drops the belt to Paige at All Out. Paige eventually drops the belt to MJF. And MJF eventually drops the belt to Cody. And that, if I'm remembering right, the way that he gets into the title picture is everybody talks about how MJF is beating all these people and whatever, but hey, you're sure lucky that Cody's not going to fight you, right? Because everybody knows that you would lose. And MJF just cannot stand that. He's like, you know what? I'm the guy who beat you to the point that, like, he didn't beat him, but like, I forced you to lose this whole title thing or whatever. I'm sick and tired of this. I want you to fight me so I can prove that I would always beat you. Kind of like a Rocky 2 sort of thing. Not in the same way, but Rocky 2, for anybody who hasn't seen Rocky 1 or Rocky 2, Rocky, spoilers, doesn't win the first match, but puts up a good enough fight that people go, hey, you know, I bet if there was a rematch, Rocky would beat Apollo, and Apollo is the one that's like, I want the rematch, and yeah, Apollo loses. But I kind of would like that sort of a scenario where like Cody isn't the one that turns heel and gives it himself. It's an MJF who's like, I need to beat you to prove that, kind of a thing, and then loses because you know, MJF. But we're talking like 4 years from now, so not going to get too deep into that. We're all going Sting and Darby Allin.
Yeah.
Yep.
We don't know who's going to fight Hikaru Shida for the AEW Women's World Championship. It's going to be either Nyla Rose or Rio Mizunami. She's fought Nyla Rose a couple times. I don't want to see that again. I want Rio to win.
Mm-hmm. And I want
Shida to retain the title too.
And there you go. Those are my exact thoughts on this match.
Sorry, I spaced out for a minute. What did you say?
That we're both going in the idea of Rio Mizunami needs to beat Nyla Rose and then lose to Shida.
Oh, good. We're all in the same wavelength then.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Good.
I mean, I don't want just another, hey, look, this big rivalry of Nyla Rose and Hikaru Shida. Fighting a couple times doesn't mean that it's a really particularly great rivalry or that I'm invested in it.
That's not my issue here. You ran a motherfucking tournament. Mm-hmm. If you were going to just do Nyla and Shida, you could have done that at any point in this journey. That's where I'll even say they almost rely too heavily on not just running back rematches for the sake of it. Because at any point in this journey, you could have done Nyla versus Shida. The fact that you haven't, if you run that back now, it's just going to seem like it's such a waste of time.
Also, to me, since they've done that, that's a Dynamite match, not a pay-per-view match. The Mizunami thing, I don't know much about her, but at least it's fresh. And Shida beats her, moves on, eventually drops that belt probably to somebody like Baker. Of course, it depends on who else they sign down the line. I don't have a whole lot to say about this. It's just going to be a match.
I mean, I think that Mizunami should win because as far as I've heard and stuff like that, that she's now, I'm not so much full-time in America, but she's here for a while. And so this is a chance to introduce her to the audience so she can have a little bit of a run here, see what she can do, build up some credibility by having a second match on American soil, as it would be against the champion. I don't think Shida should lose, like you said. I would say, and I know Rob might go in another direction this because of the direction the tournament has gone, I think this tournament has been a really big success for AEW's women's division. I can't say that I think that they're still missing a key element, which is real storytelling in terms of just like actually building up a feud for the championship rather than base it around a tournament.
Yeah.
But the matches have been really good, a really good quality for the most part. Serena Deeb and Riho was an awesome match. Riho Thunder Rosa was very good. Nyla Rose and Britt Baker, you can say what you want about the result, but the match itself was really good. Emi Sakura blew my fucking mind how good she was in this entire tournament. She was like, the matches that she had with Venny was the best first round tournament outside of Riho and Serena Deeb, in my opinion. Although Ty Conti and Nyla Rose was also really good. Ty Conti is great. I can't believe I'm saying that after a year or two ago. But she is so good now.
Night and day.
But Emi Sakura was like, she's ditched elements of the queen gimmick, but she's now essentially a real queen, which is basically her gimmick now. And she's got her own little minions that do her bidding as well. I really want her to come back to America at some point when this whole coronavirus thing goes away, and I could see her having a good run. I was really impressed with a lot of the women on the Japanese side of things that I hadn't really had too much exposure to. Yuka Sakazaki's always been great. Venny is really impressive and should get more of an opportunity in America when it happens. Maki Ito is going to be a megastar when she comes over to America because she, not so much for her in-ring stuff, but she just have that level
of charisma. Maki Ito is going to be, in a different way, obviously, but she's the female Orange Cassidy.
Exactly. She has that much character to her, and she speaks pretty good English for somebody that, again, not necessarily just say paint Japanese people with the same brush or anything like that, but the fact that she does speak English pretty well is a good sign for her as well. And yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say these would be the two that I had in mind when this tournament happened, but at the end of the day, maybe that's a good thing about a tournament setting, is that you can come up with like twists and turns like this and end up with Ryu Mizunami taking on Hikaru Shida, which I'm sure, from what I've seen of Ryu Mizunami, should be a good match. I don't know. I'm not going to say I'm not over the moon about it or super, super thrilled about the storyline potentials coming out of it. But I think this is just something to give Hikaru Shida a win after a little bit of time on the sidelines, and then you build an actual story around Britt Baker to winning the title.
So we're going on like a straight year now where it's like, it's got to be Britt Baker at some point.
Yeah. Well, I'm not as huge on some people. Some people take the mindset of like, oh, Britt Baker's not won this tournament, AEW's women's division is shambles. Just like, it almost gets sent with certain people that it's like, it's Britt Baker or bust.
Right.
Well, I think, so first of all, I agree with everything you said, that this tournament was fantastic for this division in terms of a match perspective. Problem is, and yeah, you got to factor in COVID to a lot of this. but people are ready for a domestic star. And I tried to make this point on the Fightful podcast last week, and somebody said I was crapping on Joshi. I like Joshi wrestling, obviously. I don't need to extend that to you two. But I think people are just ready for this particular division to have a domestic star. And I thought it'd be Britt Baker. But now that we are in the position we're in, I don't want to see Nyla Rose and fight Cheetah again. I just don't. It's not a slight on Nia. She's improved a lot in the ring. She's very good. But the whole purpose of this tournament was to get a new match. And if you have Nyla win, I will say it exposes the booking with this division is a lot weaker than in the rest of this promotion.
Yeah, I mean, I will agree with you. I think if Nyla Rose does win, I wouldn't say necessarily exposes bad, but I think it exposes favoritism. I think it exposes the fact that they think, and I'm not saying that eventually she wouldn't be, but I think they see Nyla Rose as someone to build the company around. And again, I'll step my foot into maybe a huge trench here. I think it is because of the trans thing.
I think that would be a factor if that's the case, yeah.
Yeah.
And if they double down like this, I would listen to that argument, because right now, almost like if you run with Ryo Mizunami, it almost seems like they've just been waiting for the Joshi to come back. Because if we look at this, Shida won the belt at Double or Nothing, yes?
Yes.
Yeah. Not that, yeah.
In the time since, she's defended it against Nyla Rose, Penelope Ford, and I think Big Swole, and that's it.
So she's defended it against let's see, I'm just looking for all these ones. So she defended it against Penelope Ford, yeah. She's defended it against Thunder Rosa.
Okay.
She's defended it against Abaddon.
Okay.
Defended it against Nyla Rose.
Alright.
And who's the other one you said?
Big Swole.
Yeah, I believe she's done it against her as well. So she has defended it against... It's not enough for this amount of time.
Yeah, because that's five defenses. I feel like...
In nearly a year.
Moxley defended the title at least 6 or 7 times in his run. I don't know, man. I just feel like they could have done more with the outcome of this tournament. Even if it was like... And it's Serena Deeb versus Ryo Mizunami. At least then, you know, okay, we're getting a fresh match.
I would say that they could do more from a story perspective, like I've said before. Because it seems like, oddly enough, the women's division is the one that's most rigidly sticking to the qualifying, like the actual rankings, than anyone else. Yeah,
it's a more-centric presentation.
Yeah, because it's people that are actually just earning opportunities rather than actually building stories around the champion. The only real story they built around was the idea of Nyla Rose demanding a title opportunity and destroying everyone until she got it. But yeah, I mean, obviously, we've discussed this actual match itself for too much, considering the fact that it's really a match that either way we're not having a huge amount of buzz going into it.
Yeah.
But the women's division is always going to be an ongoing topic in AEW until it feels like it's on a level par with the men's side of things. In the same way, like the women's division in any other promotion would be the same way with that regard.
And I don't feel like that's happening until they get an influx of more interesting characters and everything. Because yeah, I'm some of them are great in the ring and all that, but I'm not getting super hyped about a Shanna match.
No.
Especially not after she can't do her own finisher here and there.
No, they need more characters, stuff like that. I feel they're getting there. Thunder Rosa will be a great character for them going forward. Britt Baker's obviously really solid on the mic, getting a lot better in the ring. Nyla Rose is still a very good character that you can come back to every now and again. Ty Conti is getting a lot better. Anna Jay, when she comes back, hopefully will be in a strong position as well. And there's some names bubbling under the surface, like Layla Hirsch and, I mean, Serena Deeb.
Wait, Serena Deeb is top notch.
She is so much better than I ever gave her credit for. Like, it's not actually anything she does is spectacular, but she is like an anchor for that entire division. Like, if you just want to have a solid, old school, really good match in the women's division, you turn to Serena Deeb.
So we're all going Cheetah beats Ryo Mizunami.
Correct. That'll be my prediction, yeah.
That leads us to the main event here, the Exploding Barbed Wire Death Match for the AEW World Championship.
Here, right? we don't even need to talk about
this. Some barbs, some wires, some explodies. Some
boom booms, you know, like.
So,
okay. Kenny Omega wins. Yeah, all right, see you later, everybody. It's like, imagine if that's
good. Okay. Well, to be fair, that's the easiest thing that we can say about this thing is that Kenny Omega is definitely winning.
He's definitely winning. Moxley's,
there's so much more to discuss about this match than just Kenny Omega winning the match. Because this is, like, these two.
They're going to beat the shit out of each other.
Oh, no, they're going to beat the fucking shit out of each other, and it's going to be an unbelievable spectacle. But there's a lot of elements to discuss about this. First of all, this match is going to turn a lot of people on this promotion.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, let's put it this way, their match at, where was the match where they had the lights out?
Full Gear. Last 2019.
Yeah. Turned a lot of people off because it was too violent. Or it didn't turn people off the company as per se, but it made people say, oh, that's maybe a little bit too much. I think they're going to go even further with this one. Because, let's face it, these two are both fucking insane.
Mm-hmm. Especially Moxley. Like, he's just sort of like, I want to do everything on this list of things I shouldn't be doing. Yeah.
No, but the thing about Moxley is the fact that it's even worse with him than Omega because he was restricted from it for so many years. Like, he had so many ideas in his head and was probably consistently told no, or that's too mad or too ridiculous. And probably in most cases, they were thinking of his safety and well-being.
Yeah.
And now he's just entered a company which goes, yeah, fucking do it. And he's like a kid in a candy store right now. Just feels like he could... All right, what I'm going to do is going to wrap my entire body in barbed wire, just leap off the top of a two-story building and land right on top of this guy. And just like, maybe we'll cut it down a little bit from that. But
yeah, the backstage conversations.
Story, it's dead.
The backstage conversation with Vince. He's just like, hey, Vince, can I do blah, blah, blah? And Vince is like, absolutely not. That's like a big health risk. The insurance is crazy. You're going to end up hurting yourself. I told Mick Foley that he couldn't do these kind of things. You're not doing it. Then he goes to Tony Khan, and Tony Khan's like, bitchin'! You know, kind of like, can you add flames to it? You know, kind of like, dude, that'd be wrongin'.
Can you imagine if you got flames?
Yeah.
So for people that aren't super aware, the Exploding Barbed Wire Death Match is a staple of the FMW promotion back in Japan. And it's just, it is basically what it says on the tin. It is ropes made of barbed wire. But basically anything that you could detach barbed wire to, it's there. And there's landmines on the outside that people fall onto and explode. That is what that, again, I can't really explain any simpler than that. That is essentially what's going to happen in this match. Because I know these two would have watched those matches. And know these two want to do, not so much just do those matches, but bring them to the 21st century. Because FMW ended a long, long time ago. And probably ended quite a few reasons. Careers from this sort of match as well. But to be fair,
go ahead.
I was going to say that these matches are, for the most part, from what I can gather, perfectly safe. It sounds weird to say, because the barbed wire is gimmicked.
Right.
It's not real explosions.
It's not going to actually be a landmine. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But there's enough, like, quote-unquote, real barbed wire to cut yourself.
You know, like, think about this. If you, I've seen really bad barbed wire matches in the past where it looks so fake that you almost can't get into it. This, I'm sure they'll have the barbed wire surrounding the ring, completely gimmicked, and then, like, there'll be a barbed wire bat or something in the ring where that'll get a lot of the blood.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna be so much fun, though, because we have to say this. You won't fucking see this anywhere else. Like, that's the cool thing here. This isn't a ladder match. This isn't like, oh, hey, we're going to do, you know, this ladder match or this cage match. This is a match that AEW can almost call their own. Almost.
Well, I'd say, like, you're not going to see it on a scale at this level. Because basically this would be CZW on a Tuesday.
Yeah, you'll see it on a shindy, but like...
Yeah.
Whatever, like, you're not going to see a major promotion do this with proper gimmicking and like high level props here.
Not some dude in a t-shirt and
gets real barbed wire
basketball shorts. All
right, let's fucking go.
Oh yeah, this barbed wire match isn't violent enough. Let's get some light tubes and throw that in as well.
This is for the juggalos. Juggalos. Is that dude still doing it?
No.
I am interested to see like how this match is structured though, in the sense of how these two actually perform, because you can't. Listen, you can't have a match with this stipulation and then try and do a traditional match inside the ropes as well. And like, so I'm interested to see how they adapt each other's styles for it, because Moxley, he's going to feel right at home. I'm sure Omega's done enough crazy shit in his life that he will be able to fit into this as well, but it can't be like, oh, big match machine, Kenny Omega. It's got to be, okay, I've got to fuck this guy up. So it's not about story. It's not even about stars. Let's put it that way. It's about fucking each other up as badly as possible.
It will get 5 stars.
It will. No, it won't, because Meltzer hates these types of matches.
Does he?
Yeah, he's already said, like, because again, I listen to the Observer and stuff like that. He is so not. So he says this match is going to be great in its own right, but he doesn't like. He didn't like the previous match they did. In terms of, I don't know what stars he gave it, but he doesn't. This is not his style of match. So I doubt we'll get 5 stars, but that's at the end of the day, you shouldn't. First of all, you shouldn't worry about stars anyway. You should tell the best story for the match itself in the ring.
Plus, it's one guy's opinion too, you know.
Yeah. He's in their Hall of Fame.
And it's also objective anyway. But regardless of all that sort of stuff, and we're not talking about the Wrestling Observer Awards or stuff like that. Everyone get over it. Stop crying into your Twitter profiles and stuff like that. But but yeah, it's just a case of they just need to go out there. I just want them to go out there and beat the fuck out of each other. Safely, obviously, but make it look like that they're not doing all the nice little flippy shit, sort of trying to do some intricate combinations and stuff like that. No, I just want them to ram their heads into a line of barbed wire and drag it across from one side of the ring to the other. That's what I want to see from this match. Yeah, and then someone gets thrown to the outside and they get blown to Kingdom Come. That's basically what I see from this match.
You know what I really, really want to see?
Don Callis get thrown up.
I really want to see a camera on Renee Young.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Because her reactions to this, I mean, we know what we set the over-under on how many times Penta's going to say Sarah Mieta. What's the over-under that she just gets so out of it that she's just like premature birth? Like, just kind of like.
Well, she already said, like, if my water breaks, it's on you people.
I would want a live camera on Renee Young's thing. I would like to have a live mic on her as well.
Just to have her go, oh my god. I'm going to be checking her Twitter account for sure.
Oh yeah, that'd be hilarious. Like, I'll try to maybe look at that sort of thing if I can like tear my eyes away from this match, because I don't know what the visual's going to look like. Because there are two ways this can go. One, it captures that FMW feel and the grittiness, and it advances forward into the next generation a little bit. And there's nice camera shots, there's nice effects with the thing, or it's just going to be an absolute fucking train wreck, where like they fall to the outside, the explosions don't go off, or like one of the barbed wire ropes breaks in the halfway through, or something like that, and it just all falls apart.
I'll be honest, you should pre-tape this.
They should, but they're not going to do that, aren't they? Because it's like a fans. Live crowd and stuff like that. Yeah. So, but yeah, so there's a lot of scope for this to go wrong, but I'm almost excited either way. Because either it's going to be, like I say, it's either going to be just a regular, like a complete train wreck in terms of spots going wrong and stuff like that, or it's just going to be a train wreck in terms of they're going to destroy each other's bodies for our entertainment. And you assume that at the end of this, Moxie's taking a break.
Yeah, I would assume so.
I mean, I think people, because Renee Young, I think is about, I can't say like I'm keeping like a two of them in the calendar check or anything like that, but I think she's about 30 weeks at this point. So they're still
she's
good.
She's not already ready, is she?
Well, isn't it 40 weeks per pregnancy?
Oh, okay. I act like I would know. I would not know. So, you know. Well,
I think she was about that range right now. And so it's just a case of, like that's quite a wait for Mox, like about 2 or 3 months before she gives birth, and then I assume he would have paternity leave following that as well, so he would be off TV for about however many months. I think he's going to Japan.
I think he is as well.
I think so too.
Yeah, I think he's going to New Japan for a couple of, well, maybe a month-long stint or something like that. He's going to drop the US title to whoever he's facing at. Maybe, I don't know if Dominion's around about that time, but whatever big show is in the period that he's in, I don't know who he'd drop to. I would like to see it to be to Suzuki, but they've already had that match. It'll probably be someone new.
And yeah, then, I think we're all in the same boat here. This is how they write him off of AEW for a while. He goes to Japan. He comes back around the time that's closer to her due date. And then, see what happens.
Spends a bit more time off with the kid, and then he goes.
Yeah.
Goes back, and he's right back in the, like, either main event title scene or something to that extent. I mean, he doesn't really need to ever hold the world title again for a while, at the very least, but he'll come back and he'll be a big star, as per usual. Maybe he could challenge Paige, be one of the first people to challenge Paige, if Paige is champion at that point.
I'd be cool with a heel turn when he comes back.
A heel turn would be fine. I mean, I'd be fine with it just being a babyface thing. Just like, because the thing about Moxley is that, like, Moxley's just there, can fight anybody. Just like, because all he wants to do is just go there and fuck people up. So that's a really good character to have, really, because it means that you can be any, how do you describe it, any inclination, like heel or face, whatever dynamic you're in, and it works.
So are we all going to Mega Wins?
I'll go to Mega Wins.
And I'm more excited about this than multiple other matches on the card put together. But
I mean, you can't not be. Like I say, even if it's like, you can't put the words exploding barbed wire death match together and just go, oh, yeah, I'm sure it'll be fine. Just you're either one side or the other. You're either really fucking excited about this, or you're absolutely terrified and disgusted by it. There's no middle ground here.
I'm very interested to see how they pull out some different stuff there. I don't want, obviously, nobody wants anybody to get injured. It's got to be safe. But then again, you know, I mean, there's matches where it's just sort of like, hey, this person came to the ring. Sami Zayn goes to fight John Cena, gets injured on the way to the ring by putting his hand up, you know?
Right, or like we covered in the Paul Heyman SmackDown podcast, William Regal took a body slam and was out of the ring for like a year and a half.
Mm. I hope that it's like as brutal as it seems like it should be and everybody's safe, you know? So that's
if Matt Hardy's not involved, it'll probably be fine.
I want you all to maim yourselves and I want blood, but please be safe
about it. Yeah. Won't somebody please think of the children and how much that they would enjoy this? So that's AEW Revolution as far as right now. Of course, as I mentioned before, Dynamite is going to change a couple things up. We're going to figure out if it's Vance or Caster. We might figure out some of the TBD type scenarios, especially when it comes to, we're going to know if it's Nyla Rose or Rio Mizunami. Maybe they announce another match or two or something. Whatever gets changed, we will address on the hot tags after SmackDown and 205 Live. Stay tuned for that. Stay tuned for everything else that's happening here. The Smark Madness tournament is going on right now, so go ahead and vote on your preferences for the best pay-per-view names of all time in WWE. Depending on when you're listening to this, if you're listening to this Wednesday night, it's still going to be the first part of the qualifying round, but the preliminaries are going to continue Thursday morning or Thursday afternoon or so. I'm going to switch it over, and it's going to be the second half of the qualifying round where we're going to actually determine which 32 are going to be in the bracket. So vote on that. And we've got another episode after the hot tags of the Paul Heyman SmackDown podcast for you to be aware of.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. That's usually my cue. So the Paul Heyman SmackDown podcast, where we go back in time to the year 2002 and 2003, at 2003 right now. And yeah, we're coming really towards the end of the journey, because the next time you hear us will be the final main episode of the series, where we do the episode March 3rd, on a March 6th, should I say, this is March 3rd, March 6th episode, where we see the main event, a steel cage match between Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman. So place your bets on how that one goes. Other stuff involved in that would be there's a good tag team match with Team Angle versus Rhino and Chris Benoit. So that's to look forward to. There's a Cruiserweight Championship match and also a number one contendership match for the Cruiserweight Championship at WrestleMania. So yeah, plenty to sink your teeth into. As we move on towards the end of that journey, we'll do maybe an additional episode, me and Rob, where we just look back on our thoughts across the journey. And we're also going to do the WrestleMania 19 review as well. We're still deciding, ironing out how that's going to end up looking, but it will come to you one way or another. Other than that, there's obviously just checking out smartguymoment.com, reading the power rankings and all the other great articles that are out there on a weekly basis. And you can follow me on Twitter at WickedMeister14.
And you can follow me on Twitter at DudeFelice. If you want my immediate reaction on everything that happens with Dynamite tonight, check out the Fightful podcast tonight on YouTube. I'll be with Sean Ross Sapp and Alex Pulowski. And if Nyla Rose wins, you'll surely hear me complain about it. And if you want to see other things, obviously there's Fanboys Anonymous. So much stuff with me and Tony. We did a watch-along of Mulan. We did a watch-along of Batman, Superman, Public Enemies. We did a watch-along of... Did we do another one this year?
We've done enough that I've lost track because we've been doing a lot of Fanboys content.
We've done a lot this year. There's the James Bond podcast. There's so much going on over at Fanboys Anonymous, so please check that out. Please donate to the Patreon. Follow me on Twitter at DudeFelice. Follow Fightful Select for scoops like the first look at Paul White's AEW t-shirt.
They have them in big sizes.
Yeah. All right, let's real quick. If you're thinking of a Paul White shirt, first non-Big Show shirt, what does it say?
Well, it's a big shirt.
I'd say it's big and it has an arrow pointing downwards.
Nope, it says no more BS.
That's funny.
I kind of like it, yeah.
So more scoops like that over at Fightful Select, and we will catch you guys in the next one.
Make sure that you guys check out all the stuff that's happening on smartcountmoment.com that goes along with this. Make sure you stay tuned to the AEW Revolution breakdown that we're going to be doing after the pay-per-view on Sunday night, which is something that, we get those pay-per-views every once in a while with WWE where we're like, hey, look at this. We wrapped up and it's like 10 o'clock or something. This is going to be one of those. It's midnight. We're starting this, kind of. So, we might do that as a live one. I'm not entirely sure yet. I'm leaning more towards that we probably will. But if you are subscribed to the channel and you ring that notification bell, then you will get the email alert and you will find out if we do it live. I am very much leaning more towards trying to do this live going forward because I think that it's good to get some live reactions from everybody. And it's just a quicker means for me to do some of that. It's a little bit harder during the show compared to editing afterward. But at the same time, do you really want to check out the post show at, 5 in the morning or something? Probably not. And you might still be kind of feeling one way or another after the show, and you might want to get your opinions out. So stay tuned for that. It'll probably be a live thing, and it'll be up, of course, on the YouTube channel. And if you can't check it out live, then it'll be up afterward, and you'll be able to check it out whenever you want on demand. But we've got that. We've got the Fanboys Anonymous content. As mentioned before, we're going to have the Pokemon mock draft that we already recorded. That's going to come up sometime tomorrow, just because it's a little bit too late tonight for me to upload that and not have it get lost in the shuffle. So that's happening. Another episode of A Review to a Kill is happening as well when we get into Diamonds Are Forever, I think is the next one. Or was it? No, On Her Majesty's Secret Service, I think is the next one that's going to be posted. So if you're following the James Bond stuff over there, then that's coming up too. Follow the Facebook and Twitter and everything that's happening over on the Fanboys Anonymous side of things. Follow me at Tony Mango. Check out my stuff on eWrestling News and Bleacher Report. I recently wrote up a thing on eWrestling News that people might be interested in about my thoughts on what the lessons WWE should have learned from last year's WrestleMania that they can apply to this year. I have a couple pitch ideas of TV shows they should add to Peacock for the WWE Network coming out soon. Yeah, there's stuff. I'm cooking up some stuff, and it's not just pasta.
Not just mangoes.
So all that stuff's happening, and we hope you enjoy it all. And we hope you have a nice day or a nice whatever it is, you know, afternoon, night, blah, blah, blah. Stay safe. Stay tuned. And we will see you next time, everybody. But for now, this has been another Smarkout moment, and we're being counted out.